Now the U.S. is exerting extraordinary pressure on Japan to start buying beef again. But as Lucy Kraft reports from Tokyo, lingering antipathy from the Japanese public is clouding the outlook for resuming beef sales.
This national chain calls itself Yoshinoya's Grilled Beef on Rice. But grilled beef vanished from the restaurant over a year ago, and so have many customers. Yoshinoya has managed to stay in business despite the U.S. beef ban by serving up compromises like pork and chicken and through drastic cost-cutting of supplies and personnel. But with its patronage eaten away by half, Yoshinoya is as desperate to see American beef back on the table as cattle ranchers in Wyoming.
We hope to resume imports from the U.S., but if the ban goes on further, we'll have to look elsewhere for beef supply.
No country expends as much time and money screening its beef supply for BSE as Japan, which meticulously documents the life of every animal from birth to packing plant. Each animal slaughtered is tested for BSE, and over a dozen cases of tainted carcasses have turned up so far. Consumer groups remain hard line on the U.S. beef ban.
At a time when the science around BSE is still emerging, we can't go dismantling the system for inspecting every cow. Obviously, we want the same safety standards for U.S. beef as for our own.
Yoshinoya, Japan's largest beef restaurant chain, has been relatively fortunate. Since American beef was barred 14 months ago, about 2,000 restaurants in Japan have gone belly up, unable to stock enough meat from Australia, the only major alternative supplier left. The wholesale price of Australian beef has skyrocketed by as much as four times.
The U.S. is advanced in food safety and sanitation. Japanese firms copy American food safety techniques. It's strange for Japan to say that American food is unsafe.
Yet fear of U.S. beef, melded with some low-level anti-American sentiment and hostility over what is perceived as Washington's high-handedness on the issue, prevails over logic among consumer groups and the Japanese mass media, food industry officials say.
There isn't enough understanding of what BSE is. There aren't enough people and organizations to spread simple, accurate information about it. That's the biggest problem.
By as early as this summer, according to Japanese news reports, Tokyo may allow imports of American cattle under 20 months of age, said to be low risk for BSE. These so-called partial imports are just a fraction of the total $1 billion Japanese market for American beef. But it's a confidence-building strategy Washington hopes will quickly pave the way for resuming full beef imports again. Lucy Kraft, Millie Business Report, Tokyo.
Monday, get going on filing that federal income tax return. You may be due a higher refund than you expect.
Choice Point's top executives are in the hot seat. The SEC is investigating stock sales by CEO Derek Smith and President Doug Curling. Those sales came before Choice Point alerted the public to a massive security breach affecting the personal records of almost 150,000 consumers, but after the company knew of the problem. Choice Point calls the $16 million in stock sales legitimate. The company's stock plunged $2.63 or 6.5% to $37.65.
Office Depot is restating earnings for the past 3 years to correct the way it accounts for leases. The retailer says the adjustment will trim a penny a share from fiscal 2002, 2003, and 2004 results. Office Depot is the latest firm to review its accounting since CKE Restaurants discovered an error in how companies interpret lease accounting rules. Office Depot stock was up 19 cents, closing at $19.51.
Here's a look at what's happening for next week. Our Friday Market Monitor guest is James Grant, editor of Grant's Interest Rate Observer. On the economic calendar, Thursday, weekly jobless claims and January wholesale inventories. Friday, January trade deficit. Also next week, Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan gives two speeches, Thursday in New York City and Friday at a Texas banking conference.
My guest market monitor this week is Jeffrey Everett, Chief Investment Officer for Templeton Global Advisors. Welcome back to Nightly Business Report. Jeff, great to see you.
Thank you, Paul.
Given today's 3.5-year closing highs on the Dow Industrial Average and the Standard & Poor's 500, is the U.S. stock market one of the best acting on a global basis?
It certainly has acted very, very well. In dollar terms, though, we have seen even better performance out of some European markets and Asian markets.
Which ones specifically?
Well, Japan, Europe. In dollar terms, many European markets have done much, much better. And, of course, the hard resource markets, Canada, Australia, have done very, very well.
Anything with assets in the ground, it seems,
right? That's right.
Do you feel the U.S. market is getting a bit too pricey, or do you see some bargains here?
We see bargains here. We see more bargains overseas. Three-quarters of the Templeton funds typically right now is invested overseas. Mm-hmm. But we do see a significant opportunity set in the U.S. as well.
Well, we'll get to some of those investment ideas overseas shortly, but on your last visit in May of 2004 with us, you repeated buy recommendations on several stocks. Bristol-Myers was one of them, Ace Limited, and GlaxoSmithKline. Let's see how they've done since then. Bristol-Myers just can't seem to get out of its own way in that pharmaceutical group, can it?
No. Solid dividend supports it, but we're long-term. That is still very, very valuable.
And you'd buy it here?
I would.
Okay. How about Ace Limited? It's up nicely, about 11%.
Ace has done very, very well coming out of the investigation with Elliott Spitzer.
Okay. And then the third one you liked back in May was GlaxoSmithKline, and it's had over a 15% rise since then. But they had a little bad news today with the FDA stopping distribution on two of their drugs. What do you think of that?
Bad news today. Importantly, it's at a 52-week high, and the news is not the same negative news that we saw from the Cox 2 companies, like related to Vioxx and Celebrex a few
weeks ago. Are you're still recommending these stocks? Do you still personally own them through the fund or individually?
We own a significant amount of all three of those in the funds, yes.
Last time in May, you also recommended a couple of issues that we had trouble getting charts for. One of them was Vestas, a Danish company that has the big windmill machines. Is that right?
That's right.
That's done. It was $80 a share then.
It's a little over that now. Wind energy continues to be a very, very interesting area, place to invest right now. Vestas is a pure play. General Electric, of course, has a big wind business,
right?
But it's very diluted.
You also liked Hopewell Holdings.
Hopewell's based in the Pearl River Delta of China, between southern China, Macau, and Hong Kong. A tremendous growth dynamics right now, and not surprisingly, the stock has done very well.
It's way up, as a matter of fact, I understand.
It's up almost 50%.
And then you liked Chung Kong Limited. I think that's a real estate play, was it?
That's right, in Hong Kong. Some of the same dynamics that have affected Hopewell in the Pearl River Delta.
It was $1.75 then. It's, I understand, a little over $2.50 now.
It's up about 25%.
Not bad.
Then.
How about some new recommendations for our viewers?
Well, three ADRs I have today. Sanofi Aventis, SNY in New York. Very interesting pharmaceutical stock. In fact, one of the fastest growing of the big pharma companies out there.
It's a tough group, though. They've been kind of pressured.
It has been a tough group. One of the things Sanofi has done very well over the years is restructure. Many people think restructuring is dead in Europe. Sanofi just acquired Aventis last year, which is how we ended up in the Templeton funds with a big position.
Right.
They just came out yesterday and announced great cost savings.
Okay, so that's an ADR on the big board. We've got time for a couple more if we hurry.
Sure. Pearson in the UK, a media stock,
media
publishing
stock.
Company.
Right, right.
Everything from educational textbooks to the Financial Times. Very, very underused assets and under-earning assets. They're looking for a new chairman, we believe, very strongly. Great balance sheet. Great assets.
Okay.
Long-term, very strong earnings potential.
We have time for one more. We've only got about 30 seconds.
Kukmin Bank in Korea. The Korean banking sector is coming back from the dead. Kukmin is the largest, 30% of the market, 24 million customers. Mm-hmm. The entire sector doing what the Japanese banking sector did a few years ago. Very cheap still.
And these are American Depositary shares that trade on the big board.
All three of those have ADRs.
Okay, so you can get them through your local broker.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. Do you own all three of those also through the fund?
The Templeton funds have significant weightings in all six of those names we just discussed.
Jeff, thanks very much for being with us again.
Thank you, Paul.
My guest, Jeffrey Everett of Templeton Global Advisors.
And recapping today's market action, the blue chips closed at a 3.5-year high. The Dow soars 107 points, the Nasdaq gains 12. To learn more about the stories in tonight's broadcast, go to NBR.com. And that's Nightly Business Report for Friday, March 4th. I'm Susie Garib. Have a great weekend, everyone. And the same to you, Paul.
And you as well, Susie. I'm Paul Kangas, wishing all of you the best of goodbyes.
Nightly Business Report is made possible by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective through the specialized investment expertise of Franklin Templeton Mutual Series and Fiduciary Trust. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from our perspective.
A. G. Music to an investor's ears. AG. AG Edwards.
And made possible by the financial support of viewers like you. Thank you. The basics of the stock.